Rural Focus around regional WA. Your voice of agriculture.
Hello. Yes, here we go. Another Rural Focus podcast. Of course, looking at everything that is agriculture and agribusiness issues affecting rural communities, not just here in WA, but right across Australia. And on today's Rural Focus podcast, we'll be catching up with Craig Walker from Nutrient. Yeah, Craig's not too far away. Chatting to Craig today, we're going to see how the sheep and cattle markets are going right across, not just WA, but across Australia. Are they A-OK? Are they down? Are they up? We'll find out more from Craig Walker from Nutrient very soon. Also, too, we'll catch up with Louise from Farm Life Fitness. Got to keep fit, especially while harvest is on. How did yesterday's Mouchet cattle sale go? Well, we'll find out more from Jeremy from West Coast Livestock. And also, too, we will get the weekly grain report from the friendly team there at CBH. Yeah, catching up with Chief Operations Manager Ian McDaw. Yeah, Mick will join us very soon this morning. But right now, let's not beat around the bush. A part of today's Rural Focus podcast, let's get on into it. From the Condinan Group, time to say hello to Josh. Hello, mate.
G'day, Troy. How are you?
Someone tells me you're stuck in the middle of a paddock somewhere.
Yeah, okay? Mate.
You okay?
Baler has broken down, so I'm changing a drive chain at the moment. No complaints. It's not a bad place to be.
Now, mate, we're into sort of more or less fire season, as everybody would know. So I'm guessing people should, if they haven't done so already, give their firefighting equipment pretty much the once over?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're in harvest, you're going to have a unit in the paddock. And I've seen some, I've actually seen some really good units mounted to chaser bins, which I like. Yeah. I think it's a great way of having a unit on hand. But I was thinking the other day I need to give my unit the once over. And I thought, why not talk about that today?
All right. Let's start with engines, mate. Petrol engine.
Yeah, I mean, the petrol engines are the ones that are probably going to give you the most issue if you try and fire them up. Mm. They haven't run for 12 months. Yep. And, electric start engines are obviously potentially going to have a battery issue. But if they've got a pull start, then you're kind of covered there. One thing I would do is, if you're pull start only, pull the cord right out and have a look at it and see that it's not frayed, because I have actually had the cord snap on me once trying to start my fire unit. It's only probably about 20 minutes to pull that little housing off the motor and change the cord out. So I reckon if your cord's looking, you know, tiniest bit dodgy, do that before fire season starts. Fuel is a big thing with petrol engines that have been sitting around. And so the use of fuel stabiliser, I reckon, is a must in these engines. If you haven't, then I'd run some fresh fuel through it. Make sure that the engine actually runs properly. You know, if your choke has to be on a little bit to make it run, then it's probably got a slightly blocked main jet. Run some clean fuel through it, turn the fuel off, let it run out of fuel, and then use some stabiliser in the fuel. We've had pretty good results actually cleaning those little Honda Carbies using an ultrasonic bath.
Okay.
But you can also buy them online for like $20. So, like aftermarket ones. So if it's, not working properly, just bloody change it over.
So how different would it be if, say, you've got a diesel engine then?
Yeah, well, the diesels are going to be the ones which are probably easiest to start after a period of inactivity. Mm. Generally, they'll be electric start. So once again, make sure the battery's up to scratch.
Yeah.
You know, actually, what is kind of handy to have in the ute is, the jumper cables or even just one of those little power pack boost starters. They're quite good for stationary engines. But diesels, they will suffer from, water that condenses into the fuel, dirty fuel, that kind of thing. So, when it comes down to it, you need to be starting these engines and running them up before things get serious, and checking that everything is okay.
All right, that's the engines checked off. What about pumps, mate?
Yeah, well, the pump should give less trouble, but sometimes they are the cause of the trouble. Aluminium pumps in particular can actually get a little bit corroded on the impeller, and if they've been sitting for a while, and that can actually lock the engine solid. So if you pull the cord out enough and it's tight, then chances are, if you've got an aluminium pump, then that the bit of corrosion on there has locked her up, and you'll have to pull that pump housing to pieces and clean the impeller up and put it back together. That's probably the main thing to look at with pumps, and obviously air leaks on the intake and that sort of thing.
All right. What other things should farmers be looking out for, mate?
Yeah, I suppose just really then it comes down to the rest of the fittings on the firefighting unit. So, perished or split fittings and hoses. Connectors, those sorts of things, make sure they're in good shape. That's probably really the main thing to go there, so hopefully nothing goes too far wrong. Hose reels are probably a source of issues with firefighters, so, you know, they often sit out in the sun and some hoses can get pretty perished. Some aren't that UV stable. So, yeah, if you're giving it a run-up, pull the hose out, check that it's all good, there are no splits, you know, run the engine and pump and leave the nozzle turned off and build up pressure and you'll soon see if there's any splits in that hose.
What about and I know a lot of farmers around regional WA would probably be using the IBC, mate. Anything to consider with that?
Yeah, look, I've actually, my fire unit uses an IBC as well because it's cheap and readily available. there are a couple of things you do need to consider with IBCs because they are not designed as a firefighting tank per se, but they do a reasonable job. The connector fitting down at the base of the IBC can sometimes cause a little bit of grief, especially if you're bouncing around, towing a unit over the paddocks full of water. But the main thing I'd check is that the majority of IBCs you have around are white in colour and they are not UV stable. So if they've been sitting outside, they could have suffered from the sun, from UV damage, and they will go a little bit brittle. It does help if they're full of water all the time. So, you know, fire units should be full of water. But if they've been in the shed, they won't be too bad. But, yeah, you don't want to be rushing off to a fire and go over a bump and have your IBC split. So it might be worth considering, and if you ever see one hanging around, a black IBC, so that's a UV-stabilised IBC, that is the thing to have because the plastic won't perish in the sun. And there are also commercial canvas covers that you can put over IBCs to keep the UV out of them. Yeah, so those are some options if you can't park it in the shed and you have to leave it out in the sun.
All right.
But I will mention that those covers can actually impede you filling the bloody things too. So that's something to consider.
All right. So there you go. There's a bit of a checklist. Anything else that you sort of think may come in handy for farmers that they may not have thought about?
I don't know. Let's try not to start the fire in the first place.
Exactly, yeah.
Make sure.
Besides
cleaning regimes on harvesters, that's, checking conditions of any moving component on the harvester. And look, having any kind of fire extinguisher on hand when a fire starts is worth its weight in gold. So, every vehicle's got to have one.
Yeah, certainly. Probably don't leave home without one pretty much. But
That's right.
There you go. So, there you go. So check your engines, check your pumps, and just make sure everything is A-OK in here.
And pump the tyres up on your trailer too.
Always a good thing so we don't get bogged when we're out and about. Mate, I know that you're busy this morning out there in the paddocks. Good luck with that, and thanks for joining us yet again today.
It's good fun. Thank you, Troy.
Rural Focus. Around regional WA. Your voice of agriculture.
Time right now to get the CBH Group Harvest Update. And we do that, of course, with thanks to the Chief Operations Officer in Mick Dore. Morning, Mick.
Morning. How are you going?
Not too bad. Where are we currently sitting, Mick? Million tonnes wise.
Yep, at 4.2 million tonnes as of this morning. So, with things slowly picked up as the week went on.
And I'm sure that the weather earlier last week, mate, slowed things down just a fraction?
It did in the northern part of the state, So some really significant falls across a fair part of the growing region, which is a bit unfortunate, but things got going later in the week.
All right, mate. How are things looking, say, in the Albany zone?
Yeah, so Albany is a little bit later than the other zones in terms of getting going, but they're up and running, and particularly in the top half of the zone. So they've got some good deliveries coming in, and in fact, Hyden has broken a couple of daily receival records up that way. So they're putting some tons through the bin, the new upgrade there, which is really pleasing to see.
What about in the Esperance zone, Mick?
Yeah, similar. Still canola and barley coming in. So, again, some reasonable sort of tonnages coming in there. Some really, really good reports of high yields in both canola and barley. So, yeah, there's a few tonnes coming through there, which is also good. So they didn't get as much rain as the northern part of the state.
How's the barley prices sort of looking at the moment?
Yeah, I think they're pretty solid. There's lots of good barley shipping, so yeah, there's a lot of demand to get the barley out as quick as possible. Yep. So we're doing everything we can to try and try and get as many tons as we can through the port to get that onto ship, which is a good way to move tons during harvest and keep the storages sort of available for other commodities.
And where's the Australian wheat demand at the moment there, Mick?
Yeah, again, similar. So the wheat demand is strong, and we've got demand from all the customers again to you know, put as much out as we possibly can. So, you know, traditionally we push canola and barley out in the first part of harvest, and then the demand for wheat comes on the back end of harvest. So we'll have a similar sort of pattern this year, and it's looking good from a harvest shipping point of view. So, we're keen to get those tons through to port and get them loaded on a vessel.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you did mention about the rainfall earlier last week. It could be some more rain later on this week, Mick.
Yeah, unfortunately, the forecast for late in the week, again, looks a bit unfortunate. Yeah. So hopefully that drops off and we don't see too many rainfall events over the next few days. But, the forecast doesn't look overly promising.
No. All right. Well, let's see how things go over the next several days. And what are you hearing from farmers out and about, Mick?
Look, the main thing and pleasing thing is the yields are probably a bit higher than what they expected, which is a really pleasing thing. I guess it does put a bit of pressure on us and on the network, and we're seeing, you know, some of the sites fill up fairly rapidly. So, you know, we're trying to do all we can to, you know, move tons out of those sites and build extra storage. We've got a bit over 1 million tonne of emergency storage we've put in place, and we're still building more, and hopefully we'll push that up closer to 2 million tonne by the time we finish. So that's the challenge for us at the moment, but a good challenge to have. We will have, some of the sites will fill, and we will have a few issues with storage space, but again, I think good problem to have, and we're trying to do whatever we can to sort of not have that problem.
All right, as you say, pretty good problem to have at the moment. Anything else before I let you go this morning, mate?
No, that's all.
Okay, well, have a good day. Have a great week. We'll chat to you again soon.
Okay, thanks, Roy.
Rural Focus, around regional WA, your voice of agriculture.
Find out and see how the Mushay cattle sale went yesterday. Time to do that right now with Jeremy Green from West Coast Livestock. Jeremy, how was it there yesterday?
Yeah, good, Troy, and good morning, and good morning to the listeners. And, the Mushay market was very strong yesterday over all categories. So, look, they penned 2,695 head, up by 500 in the last week in an improved quality yarding, particularly in the younger section, with the market was again dominated by the pastoral type. In the pastoral section of the sale, weaner steers sold at 265 to 540 cents per kilo, up 30 cents per kilo, with weaner heifers sold from 280 to 447 cents, up by 30 cents. Yearling steers sold from 328 to 460 cents, down 30 cents, with the heifers up by 50 cents. They sold from 315 to 400 cents per kilo. Local weaner steers sold from 460 to 670 cents, up by 30 cents. And the heifers from 485 to 610 cents, up by 30 cents. Local yearling steers eased 10 cents in a poorer selection, with sales from 462 to 542 cents per kilo. The heifers gained 50 cents and sold from 400 to 430 cents. In the manufacturing section, local grown steers sold from 314 to 490 cents, up by 50 cents. The local grown heifers at 360 to 400 cents, up by 10 cents, and which leaves the bulls and the cows, with the penning of cows improved in a quality yarding. Best prime heavy cows sold from 330 to 350 cents, up by 15 cents. Medium weight prime cows from 306 to 330 cents, up by 15 cents. Score 2 medium weights for manufacturers sold from 268 to 280 cents firm. Light and medium weights to feeders gained 25 cents and sold from 300 to 315 cents. Bulls, including pastorals, light to feeders sold from 296 to 615 cents, up by 10 cents. Light to live export gained 30 cents at 326 to 505 cents. The medium weights to live export gained 20 cents on a better selection at 342 to 396 cents, leaving us the prime heavy to processors from 280 to 344 cents. So, as you can see, a very firm and good yarding.
Fantastic day there yesterday at Mushay. Where are we off to today, mate?
Out to the wheat belt today, mate. So,
all right. How are the fields looking out that way?
Yeah, fairly good. It's sort of everything's starting to turn now and... Yeah.
Well, mate, thanks for that update from Mushay yesterday. Have a great week. We'll catch you again next week.
Thank you.
Rural Focus, around regional WA, your voice of agriculture.
From Farm Life Fitness, good morning, Louise.
Morning, Troy. How are you?
Not bad. Hey, I wanted to speak this morning, suiting the exercise to your mood.
Yeah, so I was actually talking to a client about this yesterday, and we were talking about her levels of like stress at the moment. And she was saying how previously in the past, it's always been this little bit of a cliche that if you're feeling stressed or you're feeling angry or something like that, then go and take out a punch bag and just punch really, really hard, or go for a sprint, or do some slam balls or something like that, something really high energy to get that anger out, as they say. And sometimes that can work, but I think what we have to be really mindful of is that it's sometimes the worst thing you can do for your body, because if you're in a high level of stress or you're feeling angry, then you have that fight or flight system activated in your body, which means adrenaline is activated, you've got high cortisol. If you then go and do something that's really, really like got some urgency behind it, i.e. boxing or something, your body's going to think that you are actually fighting or you're trying to run away. And so your cortisol stays up. And actually we want that cortisol, which is like our stress hormone, to go down. So sometimes it's actually better to do really grounding exercises like slow weight work or just going for a walk or some stretching or something like that, which can bring our stress levels down. And then when we are feeling better, then you can go and punch something. And in a boxing bag.
Punch something. Not someone, something. So fighting.
Hopefully I made that clear.
So you wake up, say, first thing in the morning, not in a great mood. So would that be the first thing to go and do? Sort of maybe, what about going for a walk or something to try and clear the mind?
A walk is great. I always say like walking is great for the soul, I think, just to be able to get out, especially if you're on the farm or anything like that, you know, and just walk around. Even barefoot is great for a bad mood. Get your feet on the ground, feel that ground beneath you is really good. Okay. First, if you're waking up in a bit of a mood in the morning, I think it's more important to figure out why that mood has occurred. Yep. Did you not get a very good night's sleep, or was it something from the day before? And then once you've conquered that, then fix your exercise to suit you a bit better.
What about, say, mid-afternoon? Maybe you know you've started the day happy, but all of a sudden something's changed. Is it the same thing?
Pretty much. It depends. Yeah. You know, if you're feeling like if your mood is like you're sort of just a bit,
off,
the day has been long and a bit off, then that's, you know, you might be able to just say, I'm going to go for a light jog and sort of run it off, or just do a normal gym session just to sort of re-energize again. But again, it's about listening to yourself. And if you're feeling off and flat and you really don't feel like doing something really high energy, then that's again when something like a stretch or a walk or, you know, anything with that lower intensity might just be enough to get you through that late afternoon and pick up your mood a little bit as well. And definitely, like, you know, especially as the weather's changing, getting outside, getting some of that vitamin D is really good for our hormones and really, really good to change our mood sometimes as well.
All right. So suit your exercise to your mood. And as we said, don't go punching anybody. It's not in the right frame of mind. But take your frustration out maybe on a boxing bag or, I don't know, go for a walk. Hey, why not too, and try and clear your head. Yeah. And I'm sure you've got great tips on your website.
Yeah. So farmlifefitness.com.au or on our Instagram page or on our Facebook page as well. It's all there. Lots of free stuff to get you started.
See? You don't get much for free these days, but you do. Farmlifefitness.com.au. Louise, great chatting. We'll chat to you again soon.
Thanks, Troy. Have a great day.
Rural Focus. Around regional WA. Your voice of agriculture.
And time on today's Rural Focus podcast. Hopefully you're enjoying the podcast today. It is time right now to catch up with Craig Walker from Nutrient. Hello there to you, mate. Today, I wanted to speak about the sheep and cattle markets, not just here in WA, but across Australia. How are they looking?
Yeah, it's actually interesting at the moment, mate. The cattle market, if we have a look at Auctions Plus, there's about 16,000 head of cattle that were put up on Auctions Plus, and yeah, that was down a little bit because of the rain that was all through predominantly southern Queensland and New South Wales, and they had some pretty substantial rainfalls as we saw. But if you have a look at overall, we saw it was a little bit mixed. We saw some of the heifer lines that were being sold, the young local heifers, 200 to 280 kilos live weight. They averaged about $7 a kilo live weight. There's a really good draft out of Queensland, 120 Angus crossed heifers. They returned $1,500 a head, and they were about 6 to to 15 months of age. So really, really good results. If we go right through it and have a look at it, we'll just sort of touch on it a little bit. Local steers, 200 to 280, they averaging low prices of about $4.61, high topping out at $9.14. That's giving a return of $7.57. But even the lightweights, lightweight local steers, they were from $4.58 to $1,116, so $11.16 a kilo. So that was absolutely fantastic. You know, that's a huge amount of money. That's about $1,700 for those little animals.
Wow.
In the heifer market, we're sort of seeing good demand again, 280 to 330 kilo heifers. They were selling from about $5.39 to $9.77, averaging around $6.20. Scanned in lamb, PDIC cows, they were pretty consistent. Depending on the breed, they were selling from about $1,700 to a couple of lines of Angus there at $3,640. They were pre-tested in calf, and heifers a little bit stronger. There was 1,500 of them put up for sale. They were $3,860. The average $2,800 per head over the whole market. So it's really, really good then. But in the Angus category, this is where we see some of the disparity between some of the breeds. Yeah, the up to 200 kilo calves, there wasn't a lot of them offered in the Angus category. They averaged 913 cents a kilo, 200 to 280. This is right across Australia on an average. That's what we're talking here. So 200 to 280 is $780 cents a kilo, sorry, to 914. And heifers, 280, up to 280 kilos from 648 to $8.99, average 758. So that's Australia right across the board. If we have a look at some of the PDIC cows, again, that's what we were speaking about earlier. They average 3,144. Our calf units topped out at $4,200 for a PDIC cow with a calf at foot. So that was really pleasing to see that cattle market right across Australia. It's really strong and looking really positive still.
Why is it really strong, mate?
Demand, lack of numbers, people are restocking, new opportunities to get into a few markets that we're looking at. If we have a look even within Western Australia, we're sort of seeing some of our major processors having to, normally about now our grass-fed market has sort of flooded the market, and the boys in the southwest, when you talk to Harry Carroll, he'll be able to elaborate on that. But, they're normally in the market processing a lot of grass-fed cattle. A lot of those grass-fed cattle are coming on the market and going all over Australia and going back into feedlots. So, we haven't got as many cattle here. If we want to look at an analogy, there are more cattle in the Shire of Rockhampton or surrounding Rockhampton than there is in all of Western Australia. Now, that's a hard one to understand, but when you go to Rockhampton, they call the beef city for no reason. But, it's a huge thing that's over there in Queensland. Now, their numbers were decimated. And as we know, with the droughts and so forth. So that's going to take probably 3 or 4 years to restock. People are looking at different avenues. So it's driven by supply and demand, really.
Well. So that's just amazing, really, to think of all of WA and you go over to Rockhampton and, amazing.
Yeah, it really is, mate. It's phenomenal, really, where you're seeing where it is. So, look, the similar thing is with our sheep numbers in Western Australia. Like, if you have a look around the Midwest, if we say hypothetically we look around Geraldton, and from 2003 to present, we've probably lost over 1 million sheep out of our shire. If you look at places like Esperance, it would have been the same. So, there's huge, huge numbers that are gone, and all on the back of smelling the diesel fumes and the ag chem, people. And when you talk to some people, when they're getting 2.5 ton for their canola at $1,000 a ton, it's sort of a little hard to stack up sometimes, but I'll always put up a very strong case for our dear four-legged friends.
No, for sure. We are chatting with Craig Walker from Nutrient. Now, mate, I know there's a couple of big sales coming up very soon.
Yeah, there is. There's a few down south this week, of course, with our boys down south, but there's a big one for us in the north with some very, very good quality cattle coming out of the Midwest. We've got our Mouchet store sale, which will be on next Friday, the 26th.
Yep.
In that sale, there will be some really good mixed-sex Angus weaners, new season's calves coming in from Tedco. They're all Angus. There's a few black limos in there. They are absolute cracking young calves. I saw them the other day, and this is a dispersal. So these are genuine sale cattle. They're all going to be presented. There's going to be about 600 to 650 of those that will be presented. But they'll be drafted into steers and heifers, of course. There's also those Kalara heifers, those beautiful little sander heifers that will be coming in, as well as some very, very good Droughtmaster steers from up out of the Carnarvon region, and they are some cracking steers as well, really well handled, really well bred. So it's a great opportunity if you if you miss out on the southern sales this week. So definitely head up to Mushay next week and have a look around, because I'll tell you what, you will not be disappointed.
What's on the agenda for one C Walker this week, mate?
Well, got a little bit on. I've got to head down to have a look at a few sheep that are going to be presented for sale, then go and draft some cattle later on today, and then tomorrow, very much a replica of what we're doing, then head out bush for a couple of days, and then I think I'll get Sunday off and then back into it, getting ready for our store sale, mate. So we've got a little bit on, and don't forget, we're also selling a little bit of real estate, so we've got a couple of properties in the Midwest. If you want to get online and have a look at the Nutrien Hardcourt website, we've got a great property coming up, a little breeding property in Northampton, just up there, about 3,000 acres, and you can get up there and take your photo with the AFL 9 that's up there by the hotel, which was a great thing, and put together and driven by one of our great fellas in Nutrien, Chaddy Smith, was one of the driving forces behind it as well. So, congratulations to him and everyone up in Northampton.
Certainly. It would have been a great day or great weekend up there across the weekend. Mate, looks like the dog says we're out of time. Mate, thanks for your time today, and we'll chat with you again next week.
I look forward to it, mate. Those damn dogs, they always interfere, don't they? See you, bud.
And that is it. Yes, another edition of the Rural Focus podcast. And don't forget, too, if there is anything that you've missed, whether it's today or maybe yesterday or maybe sometime last week, there's plenty of other shows that you can catch up right here on the Listener app, LISTNR. Download it for free today. And we'll catch you again very soon with another edition of the Rural Focus podcast.